He has purposely designed his creation to expose his person, to explain his person, for his own glory and his own great namesake. And the motive to doing that, at least in one way, is the angels, good and bad. And God is educating them, enlightening them, exercising them in the light of who he is. God, here we are, and in Genesis, angels take heed, and here we are looking at the as we did Genesis chapter 1, in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth. And God created man, woman, in his image and likeness. Male and female made he them. So, God, you have a wonderful plan to put on display your glory for your great name's sake, to explain and expose yourself as creator, as savior, as sovereign God. Now, in the process of doing that, you have sent your Son, and in the perfect, in a perfect way, to make known who you are, your awesome person. And we shared in John chapter 1, verse 1, 2, 3, in the Word was made flesh. In the beginning was the Word was with God, the Word was God. And the Word of God, in eternal God the Son, God the Word, was made flesh and dwelt among us with flesh and blood. And in that flesh and blood, God has made known and brought forth his invisible person, God. And remember now, as we did in Sunday school a bit, remember the natural man receiveth not of the things of God, they are foolishness to him. So, when you want to know God, you're going to have to understand, you're going to start with believing, and you're going to allow God to be God, and you're going to allow his word to be the instrument, like the telescope we shared, the instrument to see. We aren't going to look at the telescope, we're going to look through the telescope by faith. We're going to look into your word, by your word, through your word, to find you, God, now. And they're spiritually discerned. That means that your common sense and reason and rationale in our humanness, it's a whole nother language now, spiritual. We can know science and mathematics and all kinds of things. But now you're in another realm. You're looking to God and God and his word, and you can't use it anymore. Not now. Not now. You've got to let go. Leave it here where it belongs on earth. And we're going to have to look to God, whose ways and thoughts and heart and mind and everything is higher than the heavens. And so God, it's a whole nother world, a whole nother language. We could know the periodic table and all of these things. But God, the elements, the conditions, the substance of eternity is a whole nother realm. We know what gold is. We know what silver is. But to know the gold of the streets of heaven, that we don't know. We don't know that. It's a whole nother world. So when you come to God, you have to yield. Yield, believe. There's no other way. First you believe and then you understand and see. Not the other way around. You don't see and understand and then believe. No, no, no. You got to believe first, as we shared. Now, in the light of that, in the light of God's awesome person, if you would, Colossians chapter 1, there's two things we were looking at. I'm going to just touch on them. One, humans need life life. The Lord Jesus Christ is life. He is the life. He that hath the Son hath life. He that hath not the Son of God hath no life. We need life, a unique personal relationship to God, to have his life. And that life is meant to be lived, enjoyed, exercised, experienced now. The moment you get saved. It isn't something for tomorrow. It's for today. And the Lord Jesus Christ perfectly, as the perfect example, as the perfect man, represents that. So now, just reminding you, Colossians 1. In God reminding us who we're praying to and who we're looking to. The Lord Jesus Christ, verse 15, who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature. For by him were all things created that are in heaven, that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions, principalities or powers, all things were created by him and for him. Thus, and he is before all things, and by him all things consist, are held together. God, the whole creation, you hold the whole universe with billions of galaxies. You hold them all in orbit out there. Wow. No, you know them all by name. Now, Romans again. Romans chapter 1. The Lord Jesus Christ makes God visible. The invisible God, visible. So Romans chapter 1, remind yourself, verse 20. For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, visible and invisible. How so? Being understood by the things that are made, everything that is made, and we shared together last time. There's not one thing that I can think of in science, matter, animal, vegetable, mineral, in any field, any subject, any item that is not marvelous, not marvelous, awesomely designed, wonderfully designed, purposely designed. For what? To show the Creator, the bud and the flower. Your hand, the marvel of your hand, the power of your lungs, like little seaweed down there, you know, all sitting down there, hanging down, like seaweed. I remember looking at them when I saw it. Remember they had, you know, care, and looking at all them. I thought they were pretty neat. I said, how about that? Upside down seaweed, upside down, hanging there. Wow. 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 God, only you did that. That's correct. All of the visible things, including your own physical being, exposes and explains and makes known God's unique ability to be who he is. Now, in Romans 1:20, for the invisible things of him from the creation of the world, clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power, and his Godhead, his deity, so that they are without excuse. God, you have made yourself known. You are the Creator. Nothing, everything that is made is created. You are the Creator and are uncreated. You are the uncaused cause of everything. So therefore, we are not going to look for you in a material way. Eyesight, touch, taste, smell, we aren't going to do that. You're not going to do that because it isn't going to work. It isn't going to work. We could use the laws of mathematics and science and everything. Go to the moon even. Go out in a space shuttle. But God, when it comes to you, all of that you made for us to exercise the marvel of your creativity, your ability. But we can't use that to get to you, God. No, we're going to have to come by faith and believe and allow you to be who you are. So therefore, the invisible things from the creation of the world are clearly seen. Clearly seen. Over to Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11. And again, remember the great catalog of believers who exercised faith. And here we have Moses. And Moses, how did you ever handle being in line to be a Pharaoh, as it were? How could you ever handle that? Having been trained in everything from military to science, the great library of Egypt, the great languages, what didn't you know, Moses? What didn't you know? I didn't honor God. I didn't know God. When I yielded my heart to God, verse 27, Hebrews 11, by faith I forsook Egypt, he said, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured. How did you hang in there? Seeing as seeing him who is invisible. I had all the gods of Egypt on every corner. I had the sphinxes and all of them out there, the great pyramids. But I didn't look to them. Egypt did. I didn't. I looked to the great God of the heavens who created it all. Wow. I saw the invisible God. I trusted God who I cannot see. Over to 1 Timothy chapter 1. And the Apostle Paul, looking at his own heart, realizing he's the chief of sinners, as it were. Verse 16, 1 Timothy 1:16. Howbeit, for this cause I obtain mercy, that in me first Jesus Christ might show forth all longsuffering for a pattern, an example, to them that should hereafter believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and have what? Eternal life. Now, what are you going to say? You're going to cry out, Paul, cry out to us, like Moses. I will. Now, verse 17, now unto the King eternal, immortal, invisible, the only wise God, be honor and glory forever and ever. Amen. Go. Wow. God. Here's Moses. Here's Paul. Paul, how'd you do it? I just trusted the invisible God. I met him on Damascus Road, and he saved my soul. So now, in the process, we're looking to give us life. Life, right. He that has the Son we shared hath life. He that hath not the Son of God hath not life. What else do we share? Well, we share together in John 1:12 and that. If you receive him, not accept him. We just did that. Don't accept. God never says accept. Accept you. He'll accept something from you. But if you want something from him, you receive it. You receive it. Now, keeping that in mind, if you would, John 1, you'll have to turn there, 1:12, as many as received him, to them gave he the right, the power, the privilege to become sons or children of God, even to them that believe in his name. Now we can become, when we receive the Lord Jesus Christ as our Savior, we have life. And that life, just like when you were born physically, you have physical life and you're related to your parents. When you are born spiritually, you have a spiritual life and you're related to God. As a child. Then we took it even further to remind ourselves, not only are we children, but in Galatians 4:4-6, etc. We are sons of God, sons, full adopted sons. We enter into the family of God. God is our Father, with all the privileges of a son. We don't have to wait 10 years. We don't have to wait 20 minutes. The minute I receive him as my Savior, God gives me the right and privilege to be a son in the Son. Thus, to have a unique relationship to God. Now, God, that relationship, is that meant just to have? No, it's meant to live it. we sing the hymn sometime, a child of the King. To be a son of God. A son of God. Now, I want to put the pot, and we're taking time in this, we have, because it is so foreign. And the impossible is quite possible when God's there. Without God, it's impossible. It's impossible. But with God, it's quite possible. So God said, I want to make sure you are reminded when you calculate. Be ye holy for what? I am holy. How? You can't. But you're supposed to include me. When I am included in the equation, in the formula, in the recipe, it works. Be holy, for I am holy. I'm there to make it happen. Just like that. Wow. That's right. Now, in the light of that, our Lord, you want us to live. Over to John, the Gospel of John, and chapter 5. And we're in that particular section where our Lord is making very clear that if you want to see, I'm here to show the invisible God. I'm here to help you understand how to know God and trust Him. And I want you to know to have life. I have come that you might have life and that you might have it abundantly, more abundantly. Verse 19, 5 and 19. Then answered Jesus and said unto them, Verily, verily, I say unto you, most assuredly I say unto you, the Son can do nothing of himself, but what he seeth the Father do. For what things soever he doeth, these also doeth the Son likewise. Again, verse 30, I can of my own self do nothing. As I hear, I judge. My judgment is just, because I seek not my own will, but the will of the Father which has sent me. If I bear witness of myself, my witness is not true. What are humans for? Remember, we did it, the image and likeness of God. God wants to look at a human, like in a mirror, and see himself. God wants to look on planet Earth and see himself in humans. And all of the wonderment of all of the creation, dinosaurs and everything else, here's all of it out there in that day. And then here's God. Here's God and Adam and Eve reflecting. Where did all this come from, Adam? God. A visible expression of the invisible God made possible by God himself. Now, so in the light of that, over to John chapter 8. Our Lord Jesus Christ does nothing of himself, and so I'm just trying to make sure you are stirred, stimulated, to understand how can you do nothing? He did nothing, and yet he did everything. So I'm trying to figure that out, because otherwise, if we ask the average believer, how does it work? They wouldn't have the foggiest notion. Never even thought about it. Didn't even occur to them. Wow. John chapter 8, verse 28. Of our Lord Jesus, who does nothing of himself. Then said Jesus unto them, When you have lifted up the Son of Man, then shall you know that I am he, and that I do nothing of myself. But as my Father hath taught me, I speak these things. He that sent me is with me. The Father hath not left me alone, for I do always those things that please him. So I have a pleasing, perfect, wonderful relationship as the Son to the Father, and the Father and Son enjoy a unique oneness. Wow. And that's God what you're after. That's right. John chapter 17. John chapter 17. If I may, in verse 18. The Lord Jesus, in his prayer, perfect humanity to perfect God, as thou hast sent me, 18, into the world, so also have I sent them into the world. I was sent into the world to show the Father. the Son showing the Father. I sent them into the world to show the Son as sons. Father, Son. Son shows Father, God. God makes us sons, so that as sons in the Son, we can show God in a unique, wonderful way. Now, how so? How so? Over to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. And by the way, as we do this, I would like to remember what we're doing now. We're looking down onto the New Testament, unto God's revelation of the church, the purpose of the church, etc., to represent God. And if you just think, here, I'm just going to take you to place after place. I just want you to put it together. Just think of hands down with all the strings and a puppeteer. And you have all the strings down here coming down. And you're going to take, and all those strings are connected so that when you lift the strings, all of those wonderful truths come up, and there it is in front of you, all together. That's what we're going to do. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. May I pick up, please, in verse 6. For God hath commanded the light to shine out of darkness, hath shined where? In our hearts. What for? To give the light in the darkness, to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God. Now, how are we going to see the invisible God and his wonderful glory like Moses and like Paul? Well, in the end of verse 6, to give light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ, when I receive him as my Savior and I look to him, who am I going to see? The Father. As my Father sent me, I do nothing of myself. I show the Father. I am the Son. I'm going to show the Father as the Son. Now, having said that, keeping that in mind, thus for me to live is Christ and to die is gain. Wonderful, wonderful God, as Romans 6:4, as God raised up Christ from the dead by the glory of the Father, by means of the Father's wonderful glory. What are you going to do, God? Well, I'm going to do something. We're going to walk in newness of life, Romans 6:4. We're going to walk in newness of life. We're going to walk in a whole unique way. That's right. We're going to have a wonderful life, and that life is to be outlived, so that you'll do nothing of the old kind. All of it is of the new kind. Before you were saved, you spoke and lived as a sinner. You came to know the Lord as your Savior. And as you walked and lived, you showed you were saved as a sinner saved by grace. But the trouble is, I don't want you to show the sin. I don't want you to show your relationship to Adam, first Adam and humanity. I want you to show your relationship to the last Adam and God. You're a son. You're a son of the Father. I want you to live like that, as a son, you know. Do you know, in all of the years, little years of my life, do you know I have always lived, even though my dad and mom passed away a long time ago. I live as a son of my Father. I am a son of my Father. I never forget that. I am always a son of my Father, humanly. So wherever I am, I represent my Father's. He's my origin. I'm a believer. Wherever I go, I have to be a son of God. I represent him. The king's son is to represent the king. Think of how many times in embarrassment in the parts of the world with England and America and presidents and all that, where the children embarrass the king, the president, etc. They should live as a child of the king. Live like that. How so? I do nothing of myself. No, it isn't about me. I have a Father. I'm a son. Now, how does it work? Very quickly, over if you would please, over to John chapter 14. We won't get very far, but get enough that you get the fragrance of it. John chapter 14. The Lord Jesus Christ has come to show us the Father. So when I trust the Lord Jesus Christ, he is going to bring me to the Father. John 14, 6. Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Only by me come to the Father. That's right, by me. And, sliding down, verse 11, believe me that I am in the Father and the Father in me, or else believe me for the very work's sake. I want you to know the Father. I came to show you the Father. If you see the Son, you'll see the Father. Where did the Son come from? From the Creator, the Redeemer. Where did you come from? The Creator. The trouble is, image and likeness, we're looking in the wrong direction, and the mirror isn't reflecting God who created us. It's reflecting our own world of darkness, dull, and dead environment. Wow. So God, here we are. You're going to show us, the Lord Jesus Christ, going to show us the Father. He's going to save us for the Father. Going to save us for the Father. Going to save us for him. And not only is he going to save us for the Father, shows us the Father, saves us for the Father, seats us with the Father. He seats us. We're seated. And you'll pick it up in John 14, if you're still there. In John 14. Picking up, if I can, in verse 2. In my Father's house are many mansions or abiding places. If it were not so, I would have told you, I go to prepare a place for you. If I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself. And that where I am, you may be also. I want you to know that he's there. He's there in his perfect resurrected body on my behalf. And therefore, since he's there, I'm seated with the Father. And that's why you read in Ephesians without turning there, verse 2 and verse 6, verse 7. We are seated in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. When? Right now. So the Lord Jesus Christ said, listen, I came to show you the Father, to save you for the Father, to seat you with the Father. I want you to have that wonderful, wonderful position. Over to John chapter 6. And what else have you done? So I am starting off, God. I want to know what you've made possible for me. You made it possible. So that there's no, when it says adopted sons, I'm given all the privileges to show, to say, to see, to know. John and chapter 6. John chapter 6. Oh, picking up, please. In verse 37. All that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out. For I came down, verse 38, from heaven, not to do my own will, but the will of him that sent me. And this is the Father's will which has sent me, that of all that he hath given me, I should lose nothing, no one, but should raise it up again in the last day. And this is the will of him that sent me, my Father, that every one which seeth the Son and believeth on him may have everlasting life. And I will raise him up at the last day. God, what are we doing? Well, we have a unique relationship. God, your will, what's it all about? God, with this whole business, what is it all about to be saved, to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ? It's your will. God's the will of God the Father, the best will of God the Father, the perfect will of God the Father, the perfect wisdom of God the Father. What is best? What is really, really best? All things work together for good to them that love God, because that's the best thing. To be conformed to the image of his Son, that's the best thing, best thing, best thing. God, it's your will, the very best that you have. That's right. I want the very best. I don't want second best, third best. No, I just want best, very best. And God, what is the best? I'm going to love you, Romans 8, 32 to 39. I'm going to love you. It is my will to love you, said the Father. I'm going to love you, and what can separate me from you, God? Nothing. What can separate me from you, God? No one. And remember, if you read Romans 8, 32 all the way to 39, what are we now to know? Nothing can separate you from the love of God. You're a son. You could be a bad son. You could do a lot of stupid things. But if you're saved, you're a son. And the Spirit of God cries into the heart, Abba, Father, Father. And he keeps doing it. It's present tense. He's doing it. Wow. So God, I don't want to forget. I'm a son. I'm a son. The Lord Jesus said, I do nothing of myself. I am a son of God. Perfect man as the son of God. And so when you, wherever I go, I'm the son of God. I'm the son of God. Are you? I'm the son of God. I say, are you truly the Christ, the son of God? I am the son of God. I am the son of God. So no matter what, no matter when, where, no matter what, wow. So now, God, here we are. God the Father, in your wonderful power, you know what is best. Uh-huh, I do. I do. I'm going to do everything that's the right thing to do. Over, if you would, John chapter 10. And in John chapter 10, picking up, please. And in verse 24. Then came the Jews round about him and said unto him, the Lord, how long doth thou make us to doubt? If thou be Christ, tell us plainly. Verse 25. Jesus answered them, I told you, and you believed not. The works that I do in my Father's name, they bear witness of me. I don't do any work of myself. I represent the working of God the Father. God the Father. Now, I am a son. In the Son, I'm going to represent the Father in everything I do. Everywhere I go, we just read it in John 8. I please the Father when I go to bed, when I go walk in the water, when I go to sleep in the back of the boat, or when I eat, when I do, when I walk through the crowd that try to kill me, all kinds of things. I please the Father. At the woman at the well, at Nicodemus, I please the Father. I'm a son. And when you see me, you see a son of the Father. All kinds, over 7 billion people. I want to see a son of the Father. I want to see a son. A son. Do you know, you were a Pharaoh's son, how's that? King Tut or something, Tut or something. And where they are. And you know, if you were a king's son, and you'd the whole hierarchy of Egypt would respect you as a son. There's Pharaoh's son. He's eating. He's drinking. He's walking. There's Pharaoh's son. Of all the people in Egypt, only you would be Pharaoh's son. And they never say that about anybody else except about you, because you represent the Pharaoh. You know the question over, it doesn't say, do you go to the Methodist church, Congregational church, Baptist, Catholic, Muslim, mosque, whatever. No, it doesn't say that. What does the world want to know? They don't care what religion you are, what building you go to. They're disturbed when you make possible the impossible. And you are able, legitimately, rightly, to represent God as a son, a legitimate son of the Lord Jesus Christ, God. And that they want to know. Where, you think of the questions over and over again. Where is your what? Where is your God? Not where is your building, where is your brick? They want to know where your God is. That's good. Religion doesn't bring us to God. Rightness brings us to God. Now, in the light of that, dear friends, in the light of God's wonderful power and grace, over to Philippians chapter 2. You know it. I'm just going to say it. Philippians chapter 2. As sons. Verse 12, you know. Wherefore, my beloved, 2 and 12. As you have always obeyed, not in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. Work it out. Pain, labor, exercise, pain, heartache, labor. You're going to work? That's right. You're going to work what? What am I working out? Your personal salvation. And you're going to work it out with fear and trembling. You're going to have an awesome respect for the awesome thing that's happening. You are representing an awesome God in an awesome way as a son. Whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, you are a son. Wow. Verse 13. And the reason you're so successful at such an impossible thing is, for it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. God's, what is the motivation? My good pleasure. It is my good pleasure. I am well pleased. I want you to know, I am well pleased to outwork. I'm your father. I'm going to outwork my life in you, my son. And I'm going to live my life in the son. That's what I'm going to do. And I'm going to do the work. I do nothing of myself. My father does it. That's correct. I'm working it out. I'm cooperating. I'm intelligently, reasonably looking to God to cooperate based on his word in a most wonderful way. God, to work out, working you both to will and to do. To will. Your will, God. That's right. To will, your good pleasure. Wow. Over if you would to Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 3. It's going to be all over the place. I just want you to catch it. Everywhere. That's what it's all about. Being a son. Being a legit son. Ephesians, if I may, chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2 and in verse 10. For, remember now verse 9, not by works, lest any man should boast that we're saved by the grace of God. Verse 10, we are his workmanship. We are his workmanship. There's the work. His, not ours. We are his workmanship, created in Christ. Where are we? A new creature in Christ. 2 Corinthians 5:17, new creatures in Christ, old things have passed away, everything has become new. Well, we are his workmanship, created where? In Christ Jesus. Unto what? What belonging to what? Works. We're resting on the basis of good works. The groundwork for God's working are works. God, what do you have in mind? I had mind before the creation of the world, before you ever existed, before anything existed, including angels. I have ordained, I have made ready that you should walk and live in these works. Our Lord Jesus, perfect man, outworked the work of God. God, you have a wonderful plan and purpose to show yourself in the ordinary, extraordinary. And the extraordinary is seen in an ordinary way. And the ordinary way, eating and drinking to the glory of God, is extraordinary. Extraordinary. Wow. So God, here we are looking, and you have a wonderful plan for our life. That's right. Now, I don't know, all of you were born, most of you, born like you are, and what do you have? Well, what's the plan for my life? Be an Indian chief, or what do you want to be? I'm going to be whatever. What do you want for your life? What's the purpose of your life? See, I eat and drink, and I went to school, and I do this, and I do that, and I go to work, and everything. Huh? What's the purpose? I don't know, what would you say? What's the purpose of you being alive? Why? Why are you alive? Well, for a wonderful reason. God, you, before the foundation of the world, died on the cross for all of us. And you made possible what is impossible. You made possible a life for us. Each one, each one. For Moses and Paul, you made a wonderful life. You have a wonderful purpose and plan. And in the outworking of all the ordinary, eating and drinking, coming and going, in all the ordinary, we are extraordinary because we belong to you. We represent you, God. We don't represent old Adam. We represent the last Adam, our Lord Jesus Christ. And so here we are, God, looking to you. And we're going to see the outworking of all those works. You had a wonderful plan for our life. Fireman, doctor, lawyer. No, a wonderful plan. More than that. More than the housewife, mother, girl, boy, man, woman. More than that. More than that. If that's all we have, we don't have anything. Because pretty soon it all goes, true? If you just live long enough, everything you thought you had is gone, right? It's all gone. Yeah, everything's gone, right? Your eyesight goes, your heart goes, your lungs go, your body goes, the couch goes, you're sitting on, the car gets worn out, everything is all gone, and you're going to leave it all. You brought nothing in, and you can surely be certain that what? You'll take nothing out. See, is that what it is? What is it? I don't know. That's what I'd ask myself. I don't mess around, not anymore. I don't ever. But in the process, wow, God, what a wonderful thing. You had a plan. That's why I'm born. I wasn't aborted. I was born. And you had a plan for everyone that ever entered planet Earth. Wow. Wonderful, wonderful God. So here we are, God, looking to you with all our heart, a little bit at a time to understand. Over in Ephesians 1:19, here we are looking to you. You're going to work out your workmanship. 1:19, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power? And then you want to underline the little word, to you. Believing heart. To us word. Who believe? The believing believer, it's to you. The power. What power? The power of God. What kind of power? Verse 19. A working of his mighty power, which he wrought, worked in Christ. When? When? What kind of demonstration? When he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in the heavenlies. Heavenly places. Wow. That kind of power. That's right. That's the kind of power. I want you to know that. I wrought it in Christ. I made it work in Christ. And you know what? The world is around you. Look at Ephesians 2, verse 2. Wherein in time past you walked according to the, lived your life according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the devil himself, the spirit that now is working in the children of disobedience. And so here we are, God, we're all on planet Earth, and someone else is manipulating us. And can we say, no, you're not. Yes, they are. We shared the little smartphones and everything. It's all commuting, all working. Everything's set up. We have certain freedom to do what we do, but the movement is out of our hands more and more and more. And the system's working to bring about the Antichrist system. And it has to work the way it is, because how's it going to come? No man can buy or sell except he has the mark. There has to be a way that you don't have money, you don't have cash, you don't have anything. You have a mark, and that computer gives you your temperature, gives you your health, gives you your wealth. You don't have to say, I go to the gas station, and they says to me, debit, and a debit and credit. I don't have a debit. I don't know what a debit is, really. I don't have a debit. And I don't know that I want a debit. I just have a credit card. And that credit card is what I punch. Well, you won't even need that. Won't need anything like that. Nope. Just all be. Wow, we're headed there fair, exponentially. Wow. In every way. Wow. So now, God, here we are. And, if I may, in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 2, the devil's working. Devil works the system. The system's working. And you're in the system. But as a child of God, hold it, I'm a son of God. a son. Now, chapter 3, and in verse 20. Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all, exceeding abundantly above all that we ask, there's no way we can even imagine it. It's impossible. Or think, it's beyond my intelligence, a little bit. According to the power, God's power, that works in us. And there's your word. Work out your own salvation with fear and trembling, for it is God which worketh in you. And what are you going to do? We're going to be able to go and what? And we're going to, 1 Corinthians 10, we're going to eat and drink to the, what? To the glory of God. That's what we're going to do. Over in Colossians. Colossians chapter 3. Colossians chapter 3. And picking up, please. Oh, in verse 17. And whatever you do, pick up the paper, open the refrigerator door, whatever you do, in word or deed, you're a son. And the angels and all the world sees you, more or less, as a son. Wow. Chapter 3, verse 17. And whatsoever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by him. That's you're going to work. In word or deed, we're going to do it. The word deed, you're going to do it. Whatever we do in word or deed, work is the word. Work, deed. And over to chapter 3, verse 23. And whatsoever you do, do it heartily. To see the word do, to work. Whatever you work, do it heartily with all of your heart as unto the Lord and not unto men. Why are you going to act that way, say that way, speak that way, walk that way? I'm a son. Son of God. So when they see, I'm a believer. I'm not a church membership's good. All of the club memberships are good. All of those different things, more or less. But no, I'm a part of the body. I belong to the wonderful person of Jesus Christ who is my life. So whatever I do or say, come or go, I do. I do to the glory of God. He that hath begun, Philippians 1, 6, he that hath begun a good one, a good work. Where? In your heart. There's the word work. I do nothing of myself. I'm a son. I don't represent myself. I represent the Father. I'm a son. I'm the son. That's what God does when he saves you. He makes you wonderfully a son. So that, over in closing, over to the James. Now remember, we shared in Sunday school, faith, you can't see faith, touch faith, smell faith, F-A-I-T-H. You can't do that. Faith can only be seen by the object which you're trusting in, whatever it is you're looking to, with a glass of water and you drink it, whatever you do. Now, in James in chapter 2, picking up, please. Going directly, if I can, verse 14. What doth it profit, my brethren, though a man say he hath faith and have not works? How can faith save him? The evidence. Where is the evidence that you're saved? With God, you believe unto God and is counted as what? Righteousness. What is the world going to see? That's what your testimony is to the world. As a son, I do nothing of myself. Is my Father, if you can see me, John 14, if you can see me, forget me. Look at the works that I do. The works are from the Father. Our works. The world needs evidence. I'm justified. How do you know you can be saved? By my works. And I can say, where did such trust come from? From my God, who is my Father. and my Savior. And that's why I do what I do and say what I say and how I act like I do, because I'm a son. I'm a son. Now in the light of that, and sliding down, you know the great context. Verse 19. Thou believest that there is one God, thou doest well. The devils, demons, will also believe and tremble, but they don't have any works. A lot of belief, but no works. There's no evidence. There's no evidence that a devil believes. There's no, where's the evidence? There isn't any. It's the works. Thus, verse 20. But wilt thou know, O vain man, that hath faith without works is dead? You need to have works. You need to have something. What are you resting on? I'm trusting on God's what? Good works from the foundation of the world. I'm looking for God's good will. That's why all things work together for good. Why do they work for good? God has a wonderful plan and purpose that I represent Him. In what way? Some miraculous? Am I going to open the Red Sea? No. No, what am I going to do? I'm going to be a son. So whether I eat or drink, wow. And James 1. James chapter 1. And you'll notice, please. May I go directly to verse 2. Brethren, my brethren, count it all joy when you fall into divers temptations, trials, tests, trouble, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. You've got to be exercised so that you bear up under the load and don't fall apart. But let patience, bearing up under the load, have her perfect work, perfect work. And what is it going to do? I'm looking to God in the midst of hard and easy, much and little, and I'm going to learn to trust God as a son. My Father knoweth the need before I ever ask Him. Now, and verse 4, but let patience have her perfect work, that you may be perfect, entire, wanting nothing. God, is that what you want? Yep, I want you to go through all the trial, test, and trouble. I want you to go through all of that. I want you to have all of that. I want you to live as a son. I don't want you to sit down and say, what big thing can I do? No, God, I'm going to do little things. Little things. I'm going to just plain old live. I'm going to live my life. I'm going to go to bed and get out of bed. I'm going to do everything. God, I'm a son. I'm a son. I live like a son. I want to live like a son. Simple as that. And the Lord Jesus will say in John 14, and greater works will you do than I did. That means more. Here's all of you, everywhere, to show sons, daughters, to show sons, wherever you are, hospital, work, home, work, show sons. You're showing sons. I only went to Jerusalem. I went to each one thing, place at a time. But you're going to be every place. And who is it? You aren't any better. You don't have more. It's me working in you both to will and to do of my good pleasure. I'm going to outwork. You eat and I'll take care of the food. You go to work and try to use your head and heart in work and whatever you're trying to do, you know, and do it to my glory and honor. And you try to wash the dishes and wash the clothes and pick up the floor and whatever you do, do it. Do it. As a son. So that anyone, if they ever ask, oh look, why do you do it like that? The work that I do points to the source, because I'm a son of the Father. That's who I am. Are you? That's what being a Christian is. It isn't sitting in church. Just that. Reading God's word to get you to get to the God who makes you a son. That's a wonderful thing. I'm able to go. You're able to go. And we're going to have maybe a little lunch or maybe not. Maybe not. Who cares? You know. Weight Watchers. Who cares? God, to you, Anna. I'm a son. What can I tell you? And my Father loves me and takes care of me. He's my Father. He's your Father. I got to tell you, it isn't just going to church and we feel that obligation. Forget, that's for the birds. You know, you got to have more than that. That's like I heard a little message and did that. Oh, boy, you got to have more than that. All you got's nothing. No offense. That's why the things are going down the tubes. I can't get into that. Anyway, forget the tubes. God help us. Our Father and God, we're looking to you to deal with our heads and our hearts. And God, as we stumble through it all, God, what a wonderful thing it is. God, an awesome, wonderful thing. So, Spirit of God, honor the Lord Jesus. Honor your word. Do a work in our head and heart. Help us to get rid of the brutish or stupidness of our own heart and mind. And look to you in a whole, giving you, based on your word, the revelation and not on our reason. I'm going to look to you that we can recover, that we can discover all the marvelousness of being alive on planet Earth, having a personal relationship to you as our personal Savior and Lord. God, thank you very, very much. In Christ's name, amen. Thank you for that. You may want to turn, please, for a stanza. 477. 477.